Well, greetings, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, a Bible question you'd like to pose, a great opportunity right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. We've been looking at various things this month, all feeding out of the new covenant, forgiveness, and life, and all of that. One of the things I want to take a look at today is a slightly different look at assurance. People are constantly asking us, how can I know that I'm saved? And can I lose my salvation? And all of that. Well, let me take you through it a slightly different way and see if maybe this helps. Okay, just to set the ground rules. What did it take for Adam and Eve to lose their salvation? Just one act of disbelief. If you looked at Genesis 3, you see that they disbelieved God and believed Satan's lie and then ate the fruit. So right. Eating the fruit was the result of their disbelief. Right? As soon as that happened, they felt shame because they were naked. They hid from God and started blaming everything and everyone but themselves.
Yeah.
Just so classic in the human condition that we see today. It was the very first thing that happened when Adam and Eve died spiritually. Here's the next question. What did it take to restore us to God? The answer is just one act of faithfulness. And Paul describes this in Romans 5, 12 and following, the verses following. He sets up this hero motif where Adam failed, Jesus Christ was victorious. And so because of the one man's failure, death was brought to everyone. Because of the one man's success, life has been brought to everyone
available.
Who will accept.
Right.
Yeah, made available. Right? So just keep those two questions in mind and those answers. Now, how did God remind Israel that he was working all of this out? He gave them the Mosaic Covenant. And that's described starting in Exodus 19. The Big Ten are given in 20, and then all these things are described through the rest of Exodus and Leviticus and
right.
Numbers, and then restated in Deuteronomy. And he was doing that to identify them as his people. His act of grace was to call them my people.
Right.
It wasn't based on their ability to keep the law, because as we know, they never kept it. It was a very bad scene.
Utter failure.
Yeah. But God gave them the law. Now remember, he'd given the promise to Moses or to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He
right.
gave the law to Moses. That's important. So what Jewish feast day celebrated the giving of the Mosaic Covenant? That was the Feast of Weeks, which occurred when the wheat harvest, the winter wheat, was harvested.
Mm-hmm.
And that came on the 50th day. It began on the 50th day following Passover. Remember the word 50.
Right.
Jewish tradition holds that the Mosaic Covenant was given 50 days after Israel left Egypt. When was the day of Pentecost? This is only mentioned in the New Testament. It's the 50th day, because Penta means 50.
Right.
The 50th day after Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died at Passover. He was in the grave 3 days. He was raised. And then 7 weeks, and then the 50th day after those 7 weeks was Pentecost. And what gift was given on Pentecost?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 explains that. So look at this bookend. In the law, or in the Mosaic Covenant, for the children of Israel, this law was given. Probably happened 50 days after they left Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus shows up. He lives. He dies. He's resurrected. He ascends back to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is given on that day of Pentecost. On the one hand, you got law. On the other hand, you got the Holy Spirit. Why could the Holy Spirit be given? Because Jesus was completely victorious over sin and death.
Right.
All right? How does this speak to the assurance of salvation? believe it or not, salvation has never been about you and me. It's always been about Jesus restoring to us what we lost in Adam.
Absolutely.
God never said to me, Richard, I want you to save the world. I'm so thankful that he never did that.
Absolutely.
He didn't even say to me, Richard, I want you to save yourself. What he has said to me is, Richard, let me save you.
Yeah.
Accept what Jesus has accomplished. And you even see this in Jesus' conversation with the Father in John chapter 17. You know, one of our favorite verses here. Yeah. And this is eternal life, that they know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What's one of the promises of the new covenant? That they will know me from the least of them to the greatest. So, and in that we call it a prayer, but it wasn't. It was a conversation between two equal beings.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, Jesus says, and this is before he was arrested, tried, killed, raised from the dead. He says, Father, I have completed the work you gave me to do. He was speaking eternally. He hadn't died yet. But as far as he was concerned, it was done. It was finished. And all that had to happen was the physical manifestation of it. Think about Satan at that moment. How frustrated would he be?
Yeah.
I thought I had him. No, not even close. So because of Jesus' indestructible life, because we have accepted him, we will never lose salvation. It wasn't ours to be given. It wasn't ours to lose. Adam lost it. Jesus brought it back. So if you remember our Hebrews series, we just finished it a few weeks ago. Jesus died only once. He's not going to die again. Therefore, Jesus only offers one form of forgiveness. That's eternal forgiveness, and it's found in him. If we sin, we cannot lose what he has given us because we didn't earn it in the first place. He
Correct.
Has just simply given it. The day of Pentecost is your guarantee that you cannot lose your salvation. The Spirit could not have been given in the first place if there was any sin to be dealt with.
Yeah. That is great Basic Gospel News. Thank you, Richard, for those wonderful thoughts. Again, open lines, friends. This is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us. 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in. We'd love to hear from you as well. 844-322-2742. Well, friends, less than 2 weeks now before the end of our fiscal year, and exceeding our budget needs will help us take this new covenant message to new listeners and new areas that we've not broadcast in before. But we need to make sure that we meet that budget. Richard, how far away are we?
We're too far away. We started out in the middle of beginning of May to the middle of May, and we only needed about $160,000.
Yeah.
And in June, the door closed somehow. Now, that many of you have given, we're completely thankful for what you have given. Many of you have not. We need you to pay attention. We need you to help us pay the bills. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
We're not buying a big jet. No. We're not buying a house. We're not buying cars or boats or any of the rest of it. We are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message.
Yeah.
And when you give, you are proclaiming that gospel to those people. You know what that message has meant in your life. Help someone else find the same peace and joy and the grace and the power for living.
Yeah.
That is found in only Jesus Christ. We've got 2 weeks. Let's raise another $100,000 to $120,000. Let's just do that.
Brent, we appreciate so much those of you who stand with us on a consistent basis. And for those of you who have not yet joined us, we encourage you to come on, be a partner with us, and keep this good news rolling. Please click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, and help us reach that budget and go far beyond so that we can spread this message far and wide. Make your gift again at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Otherwise, you can donate via PayPal and also by physical mail. Our address at Basic Gospel is 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. Once again, Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. Anyway, it's a great way to join us and partner with us in this New Covenant message you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Well, let's go to our phones now, and let's listen to, let's hear from Lita, calling from Aurora, Colorado.
Hi, Lita.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I wanted to ask you, I'm reading through the entire Bible, and I'm now in First Chronicles, which all the genealogy, I'm glad I don't ever have to take a test on it.
I would. Me too.
Oh, come on, like, yeah.
Frank, but anyway, in chapter 21, mm-hmm. in verse 1, it says, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So why was that wrong?
Okay.
Why?
Yes, it's actually a fairly simple answer. God had told the kings of Israel not to do that. Don't count the people. And the reason for that was that when they counted, they determined how many soldiers we could come up with, and then they would say, well, I've got this army, and it's big enough. Let's go to battle, and we'll win. And God never wanted them to do that. He wanted them to walk by faith in his leading. All of the greatest battles that were won by Israel were won because God fought for them, not because they had enough people, enough manpower, enough weapons, enough anything else to say, well, clearly, you know, Lord, don't worry about this one. We'll take this battle. Yeah. And he never wanted them to say that. He wanted them to say, Lord, if you don't go before us, nothing is going to happen. Another related story to this sort of thing, later on, after David's time, there was a time when they were horribly, horribly outnumbered. And God said to the people, send the musicians out to fight the battle. Now, being a musician, I'm saying, well, Lord, can we talk?
Yeah.
But they did. They went out, they were playing their instruments, they were singing praises to the Lord God, and they got out to where the people had been the day before, and God had laid waste to that attacking force. That's the kind of battle that God wanted them to fight. David counted his people. And notice how it says Satan came against him and put it into his heart. And when he realized what he had done, and it was wrong, God asked him, would you rather suffer my wrath for 3 days, or would you rather have, you know, somebody else do it? And David immediately said, Lord, whatever you do to us would never be worse than what other people will do to us. And so David accepted God's judgment at that moment. But it was all about faith or not faith. That was the issue. Are you going to walk by faith in the one true God who is leading you, or are you going to try and do it on your own?
And of course, Joab, he always did have to, was inclined to have insubordination to David in the case of Absalom, for instance.
Yes.
You know? And was that? Now, I talked about that with my pastor, and he thought that Joab had lost respect for David when he sent him, when he had Joab send Uriah, mm-hmm. Uriah, the Hittite, to be killed,
yeah.
And he thought he had lost respect for him. And then, well, this thing with the counting of the people, was that before or after David had Uriah killed?
I believe it was before. Check me on that, but I believe it was before. So what it shows is that David was human. This man after God's own heart could make horrible mistakes. Now, one of the other reasons that people lost respect for David is because of how the whole Absalom thing came about in the first place, right? Absalom's sister was raped by one of her brothers and then left, and David did nothing. And so, you know, the whole thing was set up because of human vacillation and not able to make a decision. You think of David as this incredible hero, and he was, but he was also flesh and blood, just like the rest of us. And the fact that every time he made those mistakes, he went straight to God and said, Lord, you're merciful. I've sinned. Thank you for your mercy. Every time he
But Nathan had to point it out.
Oh, yes.
In the case. I mean, he didn't come to this on his own.
No, because he was hiding. You know, nothing ever happened. My hands never left my arms. No, people had to call him on it. And God would send, you know, one of the priests or a prophet or somebody and let him know that this wasn't the right path. And he would always repent.
Yeah. Now, about the counting, when did God tell him not to count?
I didn't have time to look that up before I started talking to you.
Okay. But, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are so welcome, Lita. Yeah. Thank you
God
for calling.
God bless you. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Keep listening and call again, Lita. Great to hear from you. Well, again, 844-322-2742. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. And speaking of things going on in Israel, we're going to Israel this coming year, May and June of early next year, spring of next year. It's going to be an exciting and deeply moving experience. Well, Richard, I know that you have been looking with anxious anticipation toward this. Give us your thoughts.
Well, what can you say?
Okay.
Jesus walked there. Jesus lived his life there. Jesus did his miracles there. All this history we're talking about with David and Solomon and Absalom and all of the kings and all of the prophets and the priests all happened there. It's just a tiny little place.
Tiny, very
but
tiny.
But what a rich history.
Yeah.
And you know, all that history notwithstanding, Jesus is the key point. We're going to go there. We're going to see the places that he saw. We're going to hear the stories that he told, the points that he was making in the context of the area where he made them. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
And everybody I've ever talked to who made this trip has come back changed. We would expect the same for you.
Absolutely. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net, a huge banner right at the top of the page. Click it and get the information. Registrations have already begun, so we encourage you to check out the information. Get registered. We'd love to see you on this fabulous trip coming up in May, June of 2019. Once again, 844-322-2742. Had a call that came in off hours from Richie. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hi, my name's Richie. I asked a question a while back, and it was concerning disobedience with Moses and striking the rock. I'm still not quite getting it. I went back to the scripture there, and I'm reading that it's still that God told him to strike the rock. But I know with Christ Jesus now that we don't have to worry so much about God's wrath and perfection. You know, we're perfect through Christ. Still, I try to be obedient as I can, and it's just I'm trying to figure out a better way to clear up when I'm obedient and when I'm not. You know, sometimes earthly things will let me just think that everything's okay. You know, it seems okay to man, but in the end is death. I fear the Lord. I love him with all my heart. Well, thank you, sir. I really respect you guys' show and what you do. God bless you. Love you in Christ. I hope to hear an answer soon. Happy Father's Day to all, and one big fat praise to the ultimate Father above Father's Day to be honoring him, because he's the Father of all. Thank you, sir.
I think Richie covered all the bases.
He did. Okay, so this actually is a fairly easy answer. The first example is out of Exodus 17, and in verse 6, God, the people had come out of Egypt, and of course they ran out of water in about a day and a half.
Yeah.
It's what happens in the desert. They didn't have much to bring with them in the first place. And so being the calm people they were, they said, Moses, we need some water. What did you bring us out here to die? What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
And God said to Moses, strike the rock. Moses struck the rock. Water poured forth from the rock. The people were satisfied. Fast forward many, many years. And they ran out of water again. And this comes from Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 8. They were complaining about water again. And God said to Moses, speak to the rock. So Moses took his staff and went out and stood before the people. And here's what he said. Must we bring water from the rock? And then he struck the rock. God gave them water. Moses completely disobeyed. That was the event that cost Moses his ability to come into the promised land. That's why he died outside the promised land, although he was gathered to God.
Right.
But God will never allow us to take credit, ever. When Moses said, must we, he and Aaron, must we bring water from this rock, God said, well, I'm saving these people, but you were wrong. And it was a very expensive thing. And so there's a picture here. Jesus is only going to die once. He was struck one time, right? The promise from Genesis. The serpent will strike your heel, but you will crush his head. Hebrews, he died once. He's not going to die again. So don't hit the rock again and say, must we bring water from this rock? And so Jesus only died once. He didn't die twice. He's never going to die twice. When he comes again, he's bringing salvation with him. He's not bringing some thing about sin with him. Sin is done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why it happened. So in terms of your life and trying to live the best you can, stop trying to live the best you can.
Absolutely.
That is a frustrating way to live.
It is.
I've been there. I've done that. You know, I have all kinds of certificates that proved it, and it was worthless. Bankrupt. Walk by grace through faith. God does not judge you on your behavior. In fact, God does not judge you at all anymore, because God judged Jesus on your and my behalf.
Yes.
Jesus was completely sinless. He took on sin for all of us. It was satisfactory. It was completely enough. And when he was raised back from the dead, and notice the Bible says in different places that Jesus raised himself from the dead, that God the Father raised him from the dead, and that the Holy Spirit brought him forth from the grave. Guess what? God raised Jesus from the dead. The whole Godhead was victorious and over active. Sin
yes.
at that moment. Therefore, we don't have to deal with it anymore. Therefore, stop trying to do any sin management in your life.
Yeah.
Sin management causes one thing. More sin, because sin management forces us to take our eyes off of Jesus and put them on ourselves and say, have I been good enough today, or in the last minute and a half, or this last millisecond? And the answer is always no, and that's discouraging. God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He's given us the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, because sin was dealt with. It's never going to be dealt with again, so focus on Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit change you from the inside out. You will begin to understand victory.
Absolutely. Well, I understand that the call from Richie had quite a number of accolades for me personally, but because of time, they had to be edited out, and I'm mad about that. But, hey, it is what it is.
So well,
We understand.
Yeah.
Richard, you know, we have many, many ways that our listeners can pose questions. What does it do to your heart when you're able to give an answer to a listener who's basically caught up in all kind of bondage and that sort of thing, that doesn't understand a particular passage?
It's life-giving.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason I'm here is because God has put me here, and he has worked in my life because I've made so many of these horrific errors that all of you have made. I lived with guilt. I thought the next time I do something wrong, God's going to kill me. All of the stuff that you folks worried about, I've done. God got a hold of me, showed me his grace, his power, and I get a chance to share that with you. There's just nothing better.
Nothing better. I couldn't agree more, Richard. And thank you for sharing today. Well, friends, Basic Gospel is, of course, listener-supported, and we need your help to keep this new covenant message going out over the air and online. The end of the fiscal year is drawing near, and as Richard said, we need somewhere around $130,000 or $140,000 to just meet the budget needs, and we're dependent upon you, our listeners, to make that happen. And we would love to take this message far and wide, spread this message of the new covenant to new areas, to new listeners who have really need to hear of the love and grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, the end of the fiscal year coming up, the end of this month, and you can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And you can give through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. Anyway, it's a great way, and we appreciate so much those of you who partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.